And you may know that Ahmed Timol is being commemorated, and the Freedom Park, in partnership with the Ahmed Timol Trust, invited the media today to a historic exhibition and dialogue of this struggle hero and fallen comrade. And essentially, his story has come back into the public domain in recent years because his family members and former colleagues in the struggle have been fighting so hard to get his story back on the agenda. And finally, it has gone to a court of law in the last few years, and Judge Billy Motle has been the one who's decided that an inquest should be reopened into how exactly Ahmed Timol died. Now, the circumstances of his death are indeed very tragic. We understand that he was essentially murdered, thrown out of the John Forster police building just over 30 years ago, actually. And the family has lived with that for all these years. In fact, some of the older family members were not able to actually live long enough to be able to see that the ruling of suicide, which was put on his medical certificate, was actually eventually going to be overturned. But there are many people who still want to remember him, and this certainly was an effort at doing that. The occasion was of course graced by many people who were involved in the struggle, but also Imtiaz Kaji, Timol's nephew, who's been fighting this battle for a long time, was partly behind the historic exhibition and dialogue. Imtiaz, good afternoon to you. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Give us a sense of how it all unfolded this morning.
Good afternoon, Joanne, and many thanks for hosting me. We were graced, you know, to have a number of representatives from the diplomatic corps present at the opening at Freedom Park this morning, which included countries from Cuba, Mauritius, Australia, as well as Zimbabwe. And, you know, once again, Joanne, you know, we celebrate the sacrifices made by my late uncle Ahmed Timol, but also put into context the sacrifices made by many, many others who remain voiceless, like Tate Ben Khoate, who died in police custody in 1969. We had a representative from the Imam Harun Foundation from Cape Town, as well as a former MK veteran by the name of David Malada, you know, who was talking about his life in exile and the skirmishes he was involved in. So, yes, a remembrance of the tragic, painful past, but also, you know, inspiring us to continue to do the right things in a democratic South Africa.
Yes. I mean, you speak about Uncle Ben Khoate, whom we hosted here, in fact, and recorded quite a long podcast with, about his and his family's terrible experiences with regard to the loss of their father. But I see you had a wider discussion in which you included him with individuals like Yasmin Suka from the TRC, Kasim Khan from the Imam Harun Foundation, and you yourself were on that panel as well, and the topic of your discussion was the unfinished business of the TRC. This doesn't seem to be something that we are able to conclude in modern day South Africa. Why not, Imtiaz?
No, most certainly, Joanne. I think you've summed it up correctly. It's as if there's an elephant in the room that South Africans are just reluctant to hold apartheid era perpetrators responsible for the human rights atrocities. And the unfortunate reality is that, families are completely on their own. We depend on the likes of civil society in the forms of the Foundation for Human Rights, Legal Resources Center, human rights lawyers, Weber Wenzel, to help us to take on this particular fight. And the sad reality is that, there's a deafening silence from the part of President Ramaphosa, who has not responded to two sets of correspondence sent to him, one from the former TRC commissioners, and the other from apartheid era victims' families, asking him to intervene and to institute a commission of inquiry, to ascertain as to why has the NPA dismally failed, to reinvestigate the more than 300 TRC cases.
So this leaves you with the job of memorializing these individuals, perhaps trying to dig deep enough and excavate to find out what really happened to them. I think you, in some ways, are perhaps more fortunate than other families that have not made as much progress in this regard. But what is the significance of this wreath laying, of the symbolic gesture that you performed at Freedom Park today, while all the other work of closing these wounds actually happens?
No, most certainly. And that is why I've always been consistent, Joanne, that, this is not only about my beloved uncle. He symbolizes and represents the hundreds and thousands of other voices throughout the country who've had absolutely no progress in the last 25 years. we've been fortunate and blessed, you know, to have a reopening of an inquest, to actually have an inquest finding reversed, to finally get an apartheid era perpetrator, even though it's taken 2 years later, you know, to hold him to the courts of law. And many, many other families have not seen any significant progress. For example, you know, the family of Kaifas Nyoka, where we heard a few weeks ago that an apartheid era policeman, by simply watching the reopening of the Timor inquest and watching Rodriguez hauled to the courts of law, you know, has confessed to a police station that, you know, he was responsible for assassinating Kaifas Nyoka, literally shooting him 12 times in the head. So, you know, it appears obviously that it's a very, very difficult and painful process for us, but we always remain optimistic. And here the family of Kaifas Nyoka, who had come through to the exhibition from Davidton in Bironi, have a glimmer of hope that, you know, that something ultimately will happen, you know, in their family's case. And this is what families throughout the length and breadth of this country are hoping for, that, you know, that they will find some form of closure.
Thank you so much for speaking to us this afternoon. MTS Kaji, he's Amit Temel's nephew.